Okay, so thank you very much for agreeing to be interviewed today. It's wonderful. Can you tell us then, what is the EU?
The European Union is a grouping of Britain and all its neighbouring countries in our continent, where we come together to try and find common solutions to common problems. Just as you elect your local councillor for local matters, you elect MPs to the House of Commons for national matters, and you elect members of the European Parliament to the European Parliament to look at European matters.
Okay, wonderful. And where is the European Parliament?
Well, strangely enough, it's in two places, because most of the time we work in Brussels.
Okay.
But for 1 week a month, we are legally obliged to, we have to meet in Strasbourg, which is on the border between France and Germany.
Okay, so once a month you go there.
Yeah, so Strasbourg is symbolically important because the reason to establish the European Union was after the Second World War.
Okay.
In our continent, we had fought wars between countries for centuries, from the fall of the Roman Empire till 1945. People went out and fought on the battlefields. And the idea of the European Union was to say, we must stop that. We must have a structure where we come together and we solve our problems by talking, by negotiating, by developing common solutions to common problems. It was an inspirational, a very idealistic idea. And Strasbourg was a symbol because it had been part of Germany, then France, then Germany, then France. And
so it was a place where wars were actually...
Yeah. So instead of fighting over Strasbourg, we made Strasbourg a meeting place.
Right. Fascinating. Thank you. Okay. So you said that the MEP then represents an area.
I represent Yorkshire, and Humber.
Right.
Lots of people come to see me or write me letters or send emails when they have a subject that we're dealing with at European level, environmental questions or trade matters or consumer protection. So I have a lot of businesses coming to see me, trade unions, non-governmental organisations of all kinds, from human rights organisations, Amnesty International, environmental organisations, Greenpeace, all kinds of people.
And are there any particular areas within that that you yourself are particularly interested in or particularly involved in?
I'll tell you a good one that we're dealing with now.
Okay.
Do you know that you and me and everyone looking at this has in our bloodstream, in our tissues, 30 to 40 chemicals that our grandparents never had, because we've absorbed them into our system. And we also know that there are growing rates of asthma, skin cancer, different types of cancer and so on, that probably come from chemicals, but we don't know which ones. It's a big problem. So the European Commission has suggested that we have a big program across the whole of Europe to test all the chemicals that we use in everyday life. Varnishes, paints, salt, food ingredients, everything, to try and find out which ones, maybe things we've used for years, which ones are causing the problem. But of course it's very expensive. Some people are saying, oh, do we really need to do this, etc, etc. But if you do it at European level, you spread the cost across 25 different countries, you share the burden, and you have then the same set of rules, common rules for our common market, which make it easier for businesses at the end. They don't need to retest all their chemicals 25 times. So we're debating this now, and as always, some people say we need to be really tough, even if it costs more. Others say, well, we need only the basic minimum because otherwise it costs too much, and we have a debate, and in the end we will vote.
Fascinating. Now, you said there that there's 25 countries. There are other countries that are interested in, in joining as well. So that's lots of languages. So how does communication work within that?
Well, we all our debates, we have interpreters.
Okay.
So we it means our debates are less lively than the House of Commons, because only one person can speak at a time. There's microphones. Most people are listening with earphones. You put the earphones and you can tune in to which language you want to listen to. Number two is English.
Right.
Yeah. But you can, if you want, you can listen to Estonian or Polish or Swedish. And then you can understand what people are saying. So, and the interpreters are very good, but of course it's a difficult job, because you have to listen and speak at the same time and try and convey the exact sense of what somebody says. But it does mean the debates are less lively. If I tell a joke, maybe some people will laugh straight away, maybe not. Others will laugh after 10 seconds, and maybe the last language comes through only after 20 seconds. And by then I've moved on to say something really serious, and suddenly they start laughing over there. You know, it's not...
Which is very disconcerting. So how then does being in the EU impact on the citizens of a country?
Well, it means, firstly, if you are a citizen of a country, you are also a citizen of the European Union. Which means you have the right to go and live and work in any of the other countries. Even the right to vote in local elections and in European Parliament elections if you live in another country. And you have the right, if you're abroad, if you're in South America or somewhere, to the protection of the embassies and the consulates of other countries if your own country doesn't have a consulate there. So you have some rights as European as European citizens. But the main impact is that for those subjects which we can't really deal with by ourselves, in each in our separate countries, where we have to come together if you want to have a good effect, like environmental standards, like a lot of economic questions, we have a structure where we and all our neighbouring countries can come together to try and find common solutions.
Right.